As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
50 years in the books. Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Podell. How are you, Doug?
I'm doing pretty good, surprisingly. I'm getting used to this retirement already. It's been the longest retirement in rock radio history, I think, Eric. But I got a couple of more days left, and I'm enjoying every bit of it.
What's going to occupy your time after the big retirement?
Well, you know, a lot of people have asked me that. It's like, after 50 years, you want to take a break, quite frankly. What haven't I done that I need to do? But I am going to do some things. I have some things on my docket planned. One is that I'm going to do some record shows. I've actually rented out an Elks Club three times in the year 2026. And my first record show is coming up on March 15th, where we're going to not only have dealers with records and memorabilia and, you know, what you would normally get at a record show. And I'll be set up selling a lot of my stuff because that's the main purpose of it all. But I'm going to do a WABX reunion. I realized that with all this radio talk, I've been talking about my days back at ABX and W4. And, you know, some of the early guys at ABX have gotten their due, but second generation guys like Costin and St. James and Michael Mayer and Todd Fowler and myself really haven't gotten the ABX recognition that we need.
Yeah.
So, We're going to do a bit of a reunion during that record show and just let people bring their stuff up and take pictures and autographs and all that good stuff.
Those can be great, great events. And I know nostalgia is bigger than ever. So I like what you're cooking up there. Any chance there'll be a Jim Pemberton sighting?
Well, no. And not that I don't love Jim Pemberton, but I didn't love the fact that he took the WABX call letters to Evansville.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not quite sure that's worthy or not. But,
all right. Yeah. That would kind of like you could put him in a dunk tank, perhaps. I don't know. You know, what's interesting about this, and I don't even know if you meant it at the time. You gave me some very sage advice, and you said, Eric, you need to go to a small market. This is not for you right now. So go to a small market.
Well,
and that worked out beautifully. But the kicker is I went to Knoxville and Pemberton hired me.
Well, there you go. I mean, first off, Eric, even at a very young age and never really doing a serious morning show before, I met you at WRIF. You did a great job.
Well,
that was serious business.
It was a pressure cooker, no doubt. And
it was a pressure cooker for everybody in that studio.
Yeah.
Okay. Especially yourself. And a lot of people got a lot of respect for you for doing that and for surviving it, quite frankly. And to go on to do what you did with free beer and hot wings, I mean, there were a couple of times when I was in Cleveland before I hired Howard that I'm thinking, you know, these guys are good.
You never know. Yeah.
Has anybody heard of them before? And that was early on in your free beer and hot wings creation. So you guys were really off the charts then. But
we benefited from a lot of things happening in radio. Howard left Terrestrial, Opie and Anthony left Terrestrial, and we were, you know, it's occasionally you'll get that where suddenly everybody's it worked out. I learned a lot, and everybody at Riff did exactly what they said they were going to do. They said, we're not going to guarantee you a permanent job, but we'll help you get another job. And Fred and Bill did, the Jacobs brothers. And I appreciated it at the time. I was too beat up to appreciate it. But as I got older, I was like, you know what? I learned a lot from that. And but this isn't about me, Doug. Growing up, I've talked on my show many times about, to me, the people that were on the radio in Detroit were the stars. You know, there would be softball games, but people would be just as much enjoying hanging out with the jocks than they would be the band Journey or REO Speedwagon. Can you take me through how big it was for you and that and all those great jocks that we know?
Well, there's truth to that, no doubt about it. And Detroit is unique for that, Eric. You don't find that in every market, especially, you know, down south, like, let's say, Florida. It's a very transitional market, so jocks come and go. California, the same thing. Even Chicago, to an extent. But the Midwest, and especially Detroit, really revered their radio personalities. I know I did. That's one of the reasons why I got into radio, listening more to disc jockeys like Robin Seymour, Lee Allen, Jerry Lubin, and Mark Pereno than I did the music. The music was secondary to listening to the personalities and how they delivered it and what they were doing and how they would bring their lives into the mix. And that's very true. Detroit was very unique in that regard. And we would have those softball games where we would have Journey out there or the Babies. And there'd be as many people rooting for the radio team as there were for the rock star team. So, that's true. And no truer said than myself, lasting 50 years in radio and 44 of them in Detroit.
It was outstanding. When you started, your first radio station was Wayne State University, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
It was Wayne State. Yeah, I was going there, a 10-mile radius, WAYN, AM station. And I got very lucky because I was there right towards the end of the semester at Wayne State. We were heading into summer. And Chuck Santoni had a friend who was the program director of WABX, and his name was Ken Calvert. And Ken Calvert was the PD at the time, and he hired Chuck, and he said, hey, I need one more guy, 1 to 6 in the morning, see who you got out there. So Chuck filled me in. I took my tape down there to the David Stott building downtown Detroit, dropped it off on a Monday. And on Thursday, I hadn't heard anything, and I'm thinking, of course, I didn't get the job. Back then, you know, you didn't have to wait 6 months to hear back from a program director.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I'm thinking, how come I haven't heard back? So I made the call, and Ken goes, yeah, is this the Doug Podell from WAYN? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, we've been trying to reach you all week. He goes, you start Saturday. And that was, you know, back then you needed a license. So I had to get a license and actually spent some time with the late Dick Kernan. And he tutored me privately at Specs Howard to get a license in like 3 weeks. And I was on the air without a license. I had a provisional license and went on the air at ABX. And, you know, I never looked back. This is what I was going to do. This is what I set out to do. This is what I dreamed of doing my whole life. And I finally achieved that at the place where I had interned just a couple of years prior to that, where there really were no internships back in the early 70s, 72, 73. I would just basically go in there and clean up the coffee cups and newspaper from David Perry and Dan Carlisle and Mark Careno, and maybe pull some albums for him as he would get started. And to find myself sitting there in that chair at 1 a.m., was pretty daunting, let me tell you. But it was a big deal.
I'm thinking back and how I had a hard time, because I would hear jocks and I would be like, my God, I'm earning $3 an hour, but I'm doing it. Oh my God, it was so exciting. And I've never ever felt I've never lost that, and it always was a thrill. And so I know exactly what you're talking about. You're almost trying not to fanboy at the time, but at the same time, you're trying to work your way up in the biz. Howard Stern mentioned you, Doug, recently, talking about you, because you were the pro. Not only in Detroit were you, I mean, the unbelievable things you achieved, but you go to Cleveland and you put Howard Stern on. You're one of the first radio stations to do this. And so there was a connection, because you worked with Howard at W4 way back. It was covered in the Private Parts movie.
Yep.
I mean, my God, Doug, this is fantastic.
Well, let me clarify one thing. I am not the Duke of Rock. that is a mashup of about four people.
Right.
Just before I was leaving Cleveland, he was getting set to do that movie, and he goes, you know, I can't pay you, but you'll be in the movie. And I thought, oh, boy, I'll be the moron PD. But in fact, I was the moron Duke of Rock.
It doesn't matter who the program director is. The program
is
always the moron to the morning show.
I learned that early on with Howard. But I wasn't the PD at W4. I was actually just a disc jockey who loved what he was doing, not only from a radio aspect, but for what he was doing for W4. He was dragging us out of the woods. This was the best morning show we had outside of Steve Dahl. And, you know, we were struggling a little bit at that time, and Howard came in and shook it up. And had he stayed there, he probably would have been as famous out of Detroit as he was out of New York or Washington, D.C. at the time when he went there.
Hey, it's Eric Zane, and UncommonGoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, inch and a half thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh, what a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at UncommonGoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at UncommonGoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at UncommonGoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to UncommonGoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to UncommonGoods.com/Zane. That's UncommonGoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
But I had a lot of respect for Howard, and we did a lot of promotions together. And I don't know, you know, if he really remembered me from Adam, to tell you the truth. But when the opportunity came up and we were, you know, I mean, you're up against WMMS. You got to throw some nuclear bombs their way to, you know, succeed. And Howard was just getting his syndication started. We were the third affiliate after Philadelphia, L.A., and, of course, his New York station. And I was a firm believer. And I think that was one of the things that some of the program directors later, when they put the syndication on, didn't really realize that, yes, you could put Howard on in the morning and get some ratings, but the rest of the radio station sometimes would suffer, and also sales. I built that radio station around the Howard Stern attitude and around Howard himself, and tried to bring other personalities in there that were more than just liner card readers, and really, you know, took it to WMMS. And I think that station is still number one. I mean, we couldn't have been more number 111. I had a great producer, though, that would handle the show in the morning and just feed Gary Delabate and Stuttering John at the time, and Howard and Robin, just information about Cleveland and about personalities on the other radio stations, the competition, so to speak. And from there, you know, we did the final funeral. We did his last big funeral. I mean, he only did a couple. And we did the last one before he actually checked out of terrestrial radio. I was pretty proud of that, because that meant that the station, not only the morning show, but the station was number one. That was the parameters in order to get him to come into town. And it cost about $180,000 to put that show on, a free show. But it was probably, and still to this day, maybe one of the biggest things that ever happened in Cleveland. And I don't know if I should say this loud enough so that he hears me, but there may be a Howard Stern book in my future.
Outstanding. That would be exciting and very interesting. WLLZ, is that the first incarnation of LLZ? Was that your baby? Is that your biggest baby?
You know, it was. I learned when I went to W4 from ABX, I was only doing part-time at ABX, so I got a full-time job at W4. Jim Johnson was the PD, called me on the request lines like at 2 a.m. in the morning one day and said, I got a full-time job if you want it. And so about 6 months after joining ABX, I actually left to join W4 for a full-time position, 10 to 2 at night. And moved up the ranks there. But we went country, and, you know, that whole story.
Which is so long, weird, by the way.
Long
it's
story.
That they kept the staff and said, yeah, you're playing country now.
They were nice enough to say you could stay. Nobody did but
right.
me. The only reason I stayed is I was holding out for a management position and I needed to eat. I didn't have a lot of extra income. So when they handed me the records, and I was the first guy there at 6 a.m. in the morning on Sunday, they handed me this country fantasy concert. And I said, well, I do have to eat tomorrow, so I'll play the records. And I went on the air, and I was there for about 30 days until Lee Abrams, the consultant at the time, the legendary Lee Abrams, got me a gig in Minnesota at the legendary KQRS, and I got pinned as music director. I could tell that if I wanted to achieve some of the goals now that I was starting to aspire to, I was going to have to get into management of some sort and get some power behind me. And so that's what I set out to do. But when I got to Wheels, just about a year later, really, because Doubleday was my competition in Minnesota, but they also own WLLZ. And for as fast as WLLZ went up the ratings charts with commercial-free music and no DJs, that's how quickly they came down because, as we talked about, in Detroit, personality is paramount. So I was the first personality to join WLLZ as promotions director, then music director, and then ultimately, after several PDs had kind of failed or took us to a certain point but couldn't get us over the hump, and it really was gridlock between LLZ and Riff, I was asked to be the PD, and I really didn't want it. Program directors weren't very heralded then, and they're kind of like college coaches nowadays, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. And I took the job, though, because they said, you know, there is a company car in it for you. And I was driving a crap-ass Swinger at the time, with the bumper, you know, wired to the fender. So,
you know, you'd have never thought it. You never would have thought it because everybody, I mean, when you're growing up in Detroit, like I said, we're like, oh my God, these people. I mean, this is bigger than life, at least to me. I felt that way. But I know that that was true from top to bottom. And when I heard 50 years, Doug's going out on top, oh my God. And then iHeart gets the call letters, WLLZ. I thought, this is perfect for Doug. And then there you are. Oh, Doug, I cannot imagine how difficult that is going to be, but at the same time, sweet. On Friday, December, that would be the 5th.
December 5th.
And I tell you what, you've had a pioneering career. And what makes me a little bit sad is the ones that I listened to that I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. You know, it's time for them to hang it up, and I'm happy for you, but I'm also like, damn it, you know, and there are no more heroes in radio. In my opinion, there are no one like there was back from your era and all the great jocks, and especially the women too, Savelli, Sherry Donovan, Ann Carlini, Lynn Woodison. I mean,
well, Ann's here. Ann is still here. She does part time for us here.
I know, but you know what I mean. I mean, these are the names.
Know, I absolutely know. I mean, when Jim Johnson retired last year, that's what made me think about it, because I went, "Oh, you know, I'm the last guy standing." I didn't even realize it, and you know, everybody's coming up to me going, "Yeah, you know." Everybody's gone, Doug. You're it. And it was kind of a realization. And, you know, when you do hit 50 years and you do hit, you know, my age at 73, there does come a point. And I wouldn't have told you this last January. I signed a 2-year deal and, you know, I still have another year on my contract that I could have fulfilled. And probably signed another one before that. But you know when you know. And I just felt that the timing was right for not only what I had accomplished, but also for my family and my wife. I had talked to Sue many times, and we had joked about retiring. But she always said, "You'll never retire, and I don't want you around the house." But this time when I talked about it, it was more of a hug, and yeah, let's finally, you know, let's finally pull the plug and do something. So, you know, you do know when you know, and I think the timing's right. And boy, do I have to, and I would have never have dreamed of this, Eric, of the way that iHeartRadio has treated me. You know, when I've seen a lot of big names in this town get pink slipped in the parking lot, told they can't get their equipment out of their locker because they can't come back in the building, people who have 40 years in this business and 40 years at a station were treated not too properly. And I think I somehow got all the luck in the world because I got a party, I got presents, I got a studio here, although not the biggest studio in iHeart, you know, radio. But they did name it after me, and they put a plaque up. And
I don't think it's luck, Doug. I'm pretty proud, man.
I'm pretty proud.
You should be. You really should be. I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you're doing something with all that vast collection, that memorabilia. I remember it well. You bring it in, talking about it all the time. It was either you're talking about the Beatles or something from Herman's Hermits or the Turtles. Or Jeff Gordon.
You know me too well.
And so, yeah, there was some great times. And I was proud to be part of it, even for just a little bit of it. But I was still very, very proud. And you gave me sage advice. You gave me the time of day. You respected me. And I was very appreciative.
I think it gave you your platform for something that you really achieved. I mean, you got up there pretty damn big, my friend. So, you know, I don't think you have to complain at all about walking away. You took the yellow brick road. You found it.
Doug Podell, I wish you nothing but the best. I hope to be able to take you out to dinner one day and give my best to your lovely bride and the folks at iHeart, Casey and Tony and that whole gang. But thank you so much for doing this. You really, it really means a lot.
I appreciate it, Eric. I enjoyed it. You know, I've turned down so many podcasts over the year because, you know, I'm on the radio. So, and this is iHeart's, you know, property and domain. But I've been doing some talking about the past and talking, like I said, about ABX and W4 and Wheels. And, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I enjoyed it today, Eric. Thank you so much.
Pleasure's all mine, Doug Podell. I'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
All right, man. Bye-bye.